July 16, 1995 was the day that in a small garage in a rented house, Jeff Bezos began his online bookseller business, Amazon. This was the day that began the starting point of what would eventually lead to one of the biggest American multinational technology companies that has impacted and changed the world as we know it.
So it really was a decision that I had to make for myself. And the framework I found, which made the decision incredibly easy, was what I called, which only a nerd would call, a regret minimization framework. So I wanted to project myself forward to age 80 and say, okay, now I'm looking back on my life. I want to have minimized the number of regrets I have. And you know, I knew that when I was 80, I was not going to regret having tried this. I was not going to regret having wanted, you know, trying to participate in this thing called the internet that I thought was going to be a really big deal. I knew that if I failed, I wouldn't regret that. But I knew the one thing I might regret is not ever having tried. And I knew that that would haunt me every day. And so when I thought about it that way, it was an incredibly easy decision. And I think that's a very good, it's if you can project yourself out to age 80 and sort of think, what will I think at that time? It gets you away from some of the daily pieces of confusion. You know, I left this Wall Street firm in the middle of the year. When you do that, you walk away from your annual bonus. If that's the kind of thing, then the short term can confuse you. But if you think about the long term, then you can really make good life decisions that you won't regret later. Most regrets, by the way, are acts of omission and not commission.
Jeff originally was at a good job with stable pay and yearly bonuses. He didn't have to risk it all, but he realized quickly that there were trends that were constantly popping up explaining how big the internet was going to be. He is now worth over $122.3 billion and is living proof that if you believe in yourself, you can win. If we were to learn from Jeff's success, what trail of clues would there be? What did he do to separate himself from other entrepreneurs and skyrocket himself into ventures beyond our wildest dreams? Here are some insights into how and why Jeff Bezos has become successful.
When planning a business like this, I think to sort of look at what is the brand promise that you're going to make to customers. And the brand promise that you make has to actually coincide and very, very closely with the things that you can deliver. And in our case, that led to the name of Amazon.com. It's basically Earth's biggest river, Earth's biggest bookstore. And we wanted to use this large selection to be able to build an authoritative store. Authoritative means a few things: authoritative selection, authoritative prices, and authoritative information about books so that you can make a purchase decision. And the internet allowed us to do all those things. We could have more selection. We could also have lower prices because we don't have to have retail real estate in high traffic areas that's very expensive. Inventorying books in those spaces is very expensive. We get to inventory our books in very low cost warehouse space. It's also possible to have more information online about products than you could ever have in a physical shopping environment. So you can really build an authoritative store.
One of the biggest things to remember in business is what you are bringing to the table. What is the promise you are dedicating your brand to? What is it that you bring potential customers that no other business can provide? As Jeff explains, being able to follow through on what you promise and not overextending or underextending yourself has a massive impact on whether or not your business is successful.
One of the things that everybody should realize, and that is probably the single most important factor, is that any startup company that turns into a substantial company over the years never lose track of the fact that there was a lot of luck involved in that. So, you know, there are a lot of entrepreneurs, there are a lot of people who are very smart, very hardworking. Very few ever have, you know, the planetary alignment that leads to a tiny little company growing into something substantial. So that requires not only a lot of planning, a lot of hard work, a big team of people who are all dedicated, but it also requires that not only the planets align, but that, you know, you get a few galaxies in there aligning too. And that's certainly what happened to us. You know, our timing was good, our choice of product categories, books was a very good choice, and we did a lot of analysis on that to pick that category as the first best category for e-commerce online. But there were no guarantees that was a good category. At the time we launched this business, it wasn't even crystal clear that the technology would improve fast enough that ordinary people, you know, non-computer people, would even want to bother with this technology. So that was good enough. So there are a whole bunch of things that have to sort of align to make it work.
Hardware plays a role in creating a business, but one of the most underrated factors in a startup success is luck. Being able to hit the market with a successful business at the right time, with the right products, and with a carefully thought out business strategy is a step in the right direction to help your business thrive and succeed.
If you want to be an entrepreneur, the most important thing is to be customer obsessed. So don't satisfy your customers. Figure out how to absolutely delight them. That is the number one thing, whoever your customers are. Passion. You have got to have some passion for the arena that you're going to develop and work in, because otherwise you're going to be competing against people who do have passion for that, and they're going to build better products and services. You can't be a mercenary, you have to be a missionary. Missionaries build better products and services, they always win. The mercenaries are just trying to make money, and paradoxically, the missionaries always end up making more money. You have to pick something that you actually have a genuine passion for. You have to take risk. You have to be willing to take risk. If you aren't going to take risk, if you come up with a business idea, there's no risk there, you're probably, you know, it's probably already being done. Those ideas are already being done. They're being done well by many, many people. So you gotta have something that might not work. And so you have to accept that your business is going to be, in many ways, an experiment, and it might fail. And that's okay, that's what risk is. The good news is, at Amazon, we still take risks all the time, and we encourage it, and we talk about failure. We should be failing. Our failures have to grow with the company. We need big failures if we're gonna be moving the needle. We need to have, you know, billion-dollar scale failures. And if we're not swinging hard enough.
As Jeff puts it, being customer obsessed, having passion about your business, and being able to take risks are some of the most important ways that a business can be successful. If your customer is happy, they are more likely to become repeat customers and spread the word about your business. If you are passionate about what you do, it will show in your everyday practice. If you can take risks, you are able to push outside of your comfort zone and either grow your business tremendously or take the failure as an opportunity to grow and learn.
Do you ever have trouble winning support for any of your ideas?
The answer is yes. You know, if I have a new idea that I am in love with and I want to see it pursued, I do have to build support for it, just like anybody would, because you need very smart people to embrace the idea and move it forward. We have a framework at Amazon. It's one of our leadership principles. It's called disagree and commit. And that is extremely useful. Because after you've discussed an idea, you do need to make a decision and move forward. And people, the whole team needs to really commit to that. When I really feel strongly about something and the team disagrees with me, I have a phrase that I like to use, which is helpful, which is, I want you to gamble with me on this. It's very different from phrasing that in a way, because the truth is, when you're in a position like that where nobody knows what the right answer is, you're not saying, I'm right on this. You're saying, I want you to gamble with me on this, because I don't know if it's right either. I disagree and commit all the time. And I promise the people when I do it, I'm very clear, I don't agree with this. I think it's probably not gonna work, but I will never say I told you so, and I'm gonna be on your team. I will do everything I can to make it work.
Being able to support new ideas, even if you disagree with them, is an essential way to build trust between you and your team. Jeff talks about his disagree and commit policy as a way for people to openly discuss new ideas and new risks they believe could be beneficial to the company. Providing a safe environment where people can openly voice ideas and opinions is essential in creating a successful and thriving business practice. Jeff Bezos is now using his massive fortune to donate to multiple philanthropic projects, including his own climate change nonprofit, the Bezos Earth Fund. In total, Jeff has donated over $2.4 billion to multiple charities that he believes strongly in. He understands that with great power comes great responsibility, and without his success and his customers, he wouldn't be in the position he is today. What was your favorite moment in the video? Let us know in the comments below, and make sure to like and subscribe for new videos.